football on Off the Ball.
You know, what he did for the club, he changed the trajectory of it completely. But Thomas Frank, I'm loving the Thomas Frank era. I'm having a great time.
You were sceptical initially.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Another fella here might be of interest to you. Arthur was a movie released in 1981 starring Dudley Moore and Liza Minnelli, which tells the story of Arthur, who is on the cusp of an arranged marriage with a socialite, but he does not love her. Arthur would prefer to marry the lowly Morala, but cannot do so because of his grandmother. Which sounds interesting, I guess, but it's not as intriguing as the true story of a Sligonian producer who revolutionised sports content. It's the ongoing documentary that is Arthur O'D.
Arthur, good morning. That film.
Huh?
They remade that film.
They did, yeah.
10 years ago, yeah. Less said about that.
2011, less said about that. Better, says you.
Yeah.
Morning.
It's crack.
Yeah, you well?
Yeah, flying.
Yeah, yeah.
I, you know.
Do you get the Friday feeling?
Yeah, I always love it. I, to be honest with you,
you're unhappy.
I'm desperately unhappy. there's not a bad day in the week now, I find. Do you
really?
Know what I don't like? I don't love Sunday evenings, but I'm always Sunday mornings. I'm quite happy to come into work. I just do something about it.
I would say pound for pound, Sunday morning is worse than Monday.
Yeah.
Sunday night is worse than Monday morning. Sunday night's horrible. I'm not a big fan of Tuesday.
Love it.
No man's land.
I love it.
Where are you?
All the stuff.
Nah, you're not. There's nothing happening. Here's a question for you. What can Italy, I suppose more to the point, Argentina, Croatia, Uruguay, Scotland and Northern Ireland proudly claim that they all have in common? Their men's senior international sides each played against this man for the Republic of Ireland. It's Keith Tracy.
I never cop onto these tedious names, do I? Sitting there going, where's the link here? That's me.
That's you. Morning. Italy, Argentina, Croatia, Uruguay, Scotland and Northern Ireland.
Good list.
Really strong. All under Giovanni Trapattoni.
Yeah, only the one start. Only the one start against Northern Ireland.
Hammered them, though.
Hammered them, yeah. I've said this before, but I remember going into the game, and that Carling Cup of Nations was a competitive tournament, but playing against Northern Ireland, there was a bit of a friendly feel in the air before the game, but Robbie Keane gave a team talk. Giovanni went and done his little team talk, and when Robbie did his team talk in the hotel before we left, it was... this is a derby and we're going to put these lads to the sword. And yeah, we went and won 5-0. So yeah, the team talk from Robbie was something that sticks with me.
Really?
Yeah, real proud Irishman.
If you go to a wide shot there of Keith Tracy, you'll see a shopping bag beside him. Not that he was doing his shopping this morning, but it is all part of the upcoming Keith Friday that we will discuss. Many things as well. We're going to talk about classic football boots. We'll have pictures of those. We'll have a player that each of us felt was underappreciated that we loved, and also the favourite match of your own memory. So again, let us know on YouTube and WhatsApp. But lads, yesterday afternoon...
I opened that out as well.
Sorry?
People that are overappreciated.
Well, I had it typed out and I said, no, I'll delete that. It's supposed to be a happy
a bit
show.
Harsh, is it?
It's a happy show.
Fair enough.
You have a list, do you?
I have one or two that I thought were overappreciated in my time, yeah.
Without spoiling it, guys you've played with?
I played with two of them I've wrote down.
I kind of regret telling you things, though.
Actually, three of them. Yeah, I wrote down three and I played again. Played with three.
If you lose touch with the guy, he'll be talking about you in 5 or 10 years' time. It's like, anyways.
At one time or another, I would have said this to the lads' faces. So it's
you're massively overrated.
No, I just not as bluntly as that. Just, you know, I think.
Can we have one of them?
You want one?
Is it too soon?
Give us a little teaser.
Shefty Coochie.
You told me that before. Yeah.
He's not getting involved.
He couldn't trap a bag of cement. The best thing about Shefty was his celebration.
Yeah, it was great. We were talking about celebrations on the show yesterday, actually. So that was for the people who didn't see it. What did he do?
He used to go flying through the air like Superman and then just land on his front. But like, didn't put his arms out to stop himself. Just landed like belly flopped onto the ground. And he scored one of the rare occasions he scored. I remember, I can't remember who the manager was. Was it Mark Hughes or Paul Ince? But pulled him and said, Shefty, you're going to have to stop celebrating like that. And Shefty's reply was, I don't score an awful lot, you don't have to worry. But yeah, the celebration was mental.
He actually scored the winner in the match I was at, March 2007, for Sheffield Wednesday against Crystal Palace at Cedars Park. I was randomly at this game and he got the winner and he did that celebration.
He was a lovely bloke. I love Shefty. I remember,
Blackburn, was it?
Yeah, I remember going past the gym and he was in the gym and he was on the rowing machine and he was pulling at the rowing machine so hard the rowing machine was going backwards through the gym. He was
that his true calling, really? Strength.
Yeah, he was a big, big boy. Like in the gym, you couldn't compare with him. But as I say, things got a little bit wobbly when you get him a football.
Speaking of wobbly, her knees might have been so he might have been gushing with love for this new superstar of Irish sport, perhaps. Cian McPhillips. Don't want to put too much pressure on the boy, but it's the first time ever an Irish athlete
has
qualified
win
for the 800 metres at the World Athletics Championships. We were all minding our own business yesterday afternoon, texting each other independently, and I'm sure the country was too, about this guy, Cian McPhillips. Kind of very atypically, Keith, kind of crossed the line with nonchalance about, yeah, of course I belong here.
Yeah.
And he wins the race. He actually spoke very humbly afterwards as well about the last 30 metres. I don't know if he read this or heard this, but he said the last 30 metres he was a bit all over the place, so he had to do his best to hold firm mentally to get over the line, but it looked so comfortable.
Yeah, he did. That's when he turned the bend, I thought Greg Allen's commentary on it was really good. Mm-hmm. The hairs on the back of the neck standing up. But yeah, as he turns the bend, you're thinking, oh, people are going to start reeling him in, but he just stayed strong. And you know, he's saying there that he's not sure how much he had left. He looked like he had a little bit left, and hopefully he does really well in the final.
Yeah, like he had beaten, he beat four men who had run 142. So McPhillips himself ran 143.12, which is an Irish record. He was in the history books as it is. And he was anyway for qualifying for a final for the first time in 800 metres for the World Athletics Championships.
It's mental, isn't it? Trying to get your head around that 800 metres in a minute and 42.
143.18 he did it, yeah. But he had beaten lads who had done it 142.
Do you know we were talking yesterday about the 1500?
Yeah.
Tough to make the call.
When to go?
Well, I'd say this one's even harder.
We were saying that, do you know what I mean? As in, like, you know, the 1500, like the 1500 was unbelievable, the final.
Yeah.
The day before last. It's like, you don't jog, you don't sprint. How do you time it and all that? Because Andrew Cascarin talked about it, the difficulty of knowing what to do. I'd agree, like, half the length, but still so difficult mentally. But when you go into 800 metres, it's short, but it's not that short.
What, 800's two laps, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's 400, so yeah, two laps.
Because that fella, I thought, like, not knowing, I obviously no knowledge of the guys in the race, but I don't know, was it the subsequent one or one beforehand, the Spanish fella who won?
Is this the Mark English semi?
No, I don't know. I feel like it was after McPhillips, if there was one after him.
Right.
But that Spanish fella, he started off so slow. He looked like one of those fellas who's qualified, but he's had a bad day.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, this guy's, he's nowhere near it.
Mm.
And that's the, what, like, McCaughlin was talking about yesterday, almost about just completely controlling the thing or controlling in your own mind. He romped home. I'm pretty sure he might have done it in the exact same time as McPhillips.
Okay.
But this guy came, he was so far back that you were like, oh, this is kind of embarrassing. And then, like, because it's such a short period of time, bombs forward and gets over the line just like at a canter.
Mm.
It was incredible.
Mm.
But I don't know how you do it. I don't, like, it's so hard to know. Like, do you start? They kept on, I don't know what this means, I should look it up. When they kept on saying about McPhillips afterwards, it was a negative split. Do you know what that means?
I'd heard it too. It was explained.
Yeah.
And I forgot.
I didn't pick it up.
Yeah.
Apparently that was notable as well.
Okay. Yeah, I heard that too. He said, I felt it was coming, but I've never faced the field this good. This is McPhillips talking directly afterwards. I love this quote, Keith, right? As good as these guys are, you can't give them any respect. I love that.
You have to be like
that's
that.
No, but you know, that's so obvious to say and think, but it's difficult to do. And he followed that by saying, you got to treat them like they're the same as you. It's class-like.
Yeah, you have to. You can't, like, I remember going in to, you know, play games and to be superstars next to you, and you just have to kill it all. And first time I got into the Irish team with Damien Duff, you know, a childhood hero of mine, Shea Given, Damien Duff, John O'Shea, you just have to pretend you're on a level, even though you know in the back of your head you're probably not quite there. You've got to believe it, and otherwise you're giving them one up, aren't you?
Yeah, totally. It's an unbelievable race. So for people's diaries, the 800 metres final in the World Athletics Championships in Tokyo with Cian McPhillips participating, that's going to be tomorrow, Saturday afternoon, just after 2:20. So bear that in mind.
Get the Rome Derby in there first.
Is that tomorrow? I thought it was Sunday.
Oh, I thought it was Saturday. My mistake. I could be wrong.
I think it's Sunday.
I could be wrong.
Open to correction. Both.
I think Colin Corcoran's after clarifying there. I think it means he ran the second lap faster than the first.
Okay. Negative split.
But why is that?
They can make that clear.
Would that not be?
They can make that clear.
Yeah.
If that's the description, they can make it clearer. Negative split. That was, you run the second lap quicker? Should have been a question for Eamon.
I would have thought that was what you would do.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Shout out to Mark English. We mentioned him there briefly. He finished third in his semi-final, which is a really good race. But like the two lads ahead of him, Olympic medalists, it's no shame in it, but that's the heartbreak of it. I just the big takeaway, and I actually noted it down, was fucking love this quote. Jeez. By Cian McPhillips. That's how much it meant to me, right? That's how much it meant to me, right? I was like, as good as these guys are, you can't give them any respect. And I just sometimes Irish athletes, sports people generally, we're too deferential when it comes to the international stage.
I think Irish people in general are a little bit like that. You don't, you know, you're not too boastful. I know you, Conor McGregor comes to mind, but he's probably the rare occasion of an Irish man having that outward confidence and showing
Whiffen,
people.
We've seen it a
Daniel
bit.
Daniel Whiffen as well, to be fair, But to be fair, the ones who do it generally back it up.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Well, that's the thing you absolutely can't do in this country.
Yeah.
Is talk and not
talk
walk.
And not back up. Yeah.
But and it was great to see because he did it in kind of such an endearing way as well. It was a bit like Stacey Flood this week saying, "God, we're so likable," but she wore it so well when she said it that it was secret and laughing along with her. So for everything else today from an Irish contingent, the World Legs Championships. Actually, we'll probably still be on air for this. 9:33 a.m. Kate O'Connor, she competes in the 100 metres hurdles heptathlon, and then at 20 past 10 she's in the high jump, and then later on 12:30 and 1:40 she does the shot put and 200 metres respectively in the heptathlon, and then the 5,000 metre heat, or heats actually, over two different heats with three Irish athletes in total. We talked about this with Eamon Cochrane yesterday. Midday, Brian Fay is in heat one. And then at 12:19, Andrew Coskren and Dara McElhenney are in heat two of the 5,000 metres. So that's your action in the World Athletics Championships today. Final reminder, Cian McPhillips, 800 metre final tomorrow, 20 past two. This is Marcus Rashford's world, Keith.
It is. After last night.
What are your thoughts?
I'm not quite sure where that performance came from. He's had a couple of minutes here or there in a Barcelona short, and I'm looking at it thinking fairly similar to, you know, he looks a little bit more interested, but I thought his first goal yesterday, you know, it's a brilliant header, don't get me wrong, he generates the power as it comes in, but if you look at the movement, he basically stands still at on the penalty spot, the ball comes and he finishes it.
Isn't it? But Jules Koundé just kind of clips it in with his left foot.
He doesn't have to move at all. I think Dan Bourne comes away from him, and look, it's a brilliant header, but I was looking at it thinking, oh, that's one of them things, it's a good finish, but he hasn't had to work too hard for that goal. And then when he pops up at that second lane, I stood up in my sitting room last night, and I, wow, what a finish that was.
Stood up.
The way he hit it. Very rare I would stand up for somebody scoring a goal.
And he said, wow.
I gave it a wow as well, an out loud wow. But the way he hit it, like to hit it so flat like that and to get it to dip, that's going over the bar until it gets a yard away from it, and then it just dips and kisses it on the way in. And I think when a shot hits the bar and goes in, it looks that little bit more aesthetically pleasing, doesn't it?
We were talking about that yesterday.
But I have to say, I was delighted for Marcus. He's, you know, some of the stuff he's at Manchester United, I know, like there's a whole list now of players that have been at Manchester United and have gone away and are starting to do really, really well again. And I'm glad for Marcus because he hasn't done well, but his talent is there. And as soon as he scored, it zoomed in on Tuchel in the crowd watching him. Didn't look too happy, but he must be thinking Marcus will be back in the England squad.
As poor as his form has been for such a considerable period of time, that strike did not surprise me.
Yeah.
Because he's always had that in his locker. He has this whip, and he has there's a wand of a left foot. What's the right foot equivalent? Because that's what Rashford had when it comes to shooting. The whip and dip he gets on these shots is ferocious, and the ball doesn't move that much too, so it's a real purity of strike.
Yeah, it was a lovely strike.
Because he's not that far out, Keith. Like he's only just, you know, he's about 20 yards out to get it up and down like that.
Yeah. And it was the movement on the ball as well. It's not like nobody has ever looked at Pope and thought, should have done a little bit there. It's a wonderful, wonderful strike. Yeah. And even Tonali is having a bit of a go at him as well. He's one-on-one with Tonali and he shifts it. And as he shifts it, Tonali pushes him a bit. But he keeps his balance so well. And it's easy to think, oh, well, he just rides that tackle. That's hours in the gym doing little things, little movements here or there. So, like I say, I'm delighted for him, but he needs to kick on now. He needs to keep going and, you know, get himself into that England squad for the World Cup.
Yeah, Thomas Tuchel was in attendance as well, England manager. There were his first two goals for Barcelona last night, Rashford. It was interesting because he started poor enough. Like, he gave the ball away. Kieran Trippier had the better of him, your old buddy, in the first few battles, because Anthony Elanga, who had a great first half for Newcastle, he flakes down the right wing when Bruno Guimaraes brilliantly holds onto the ball, plays the overlap pass. Elanga crosses it in to name escapes me now. Harvey Barnes. Harvey Barnes could take a touch, but he's the first time keeper saves it. But Rashford gives the ball away, and Trippier has the better of him. But then there's that moment in the first half for Rashford where he does that dummy when the ball is passed to him and he sprints down the left wing. But his finish is poor again. So there's that thing where he's gradually, very slowly getting his confidence up. There was still remnants of the Manchester United version of Rashford in the first half. I think there was. But the second half, you see the reason that there was a fuss about this guy in the first place.
Yeah, and look, my mind, it's fairly cynical. I think it's just wired that way. But I'm looking at Rashford and he was brilliant last night. I don't want to take any shine off of that. But is he still in the team when Yamal comes back? Yamal's going to play on the right. No, Rafinha's going to play on the left.
Rafinha's a Ballon d'Or candidate.
So without banging the head off a wall, is he going to get into that Barcelona team?
He'll play an awful lot though. I mean,
because of the amount of games.
They're going to rotate. They're playing twice a week. Lewandowski's 36. Like, they're going to rotate.
But it doesn't really matter what he does then, does it? I mean, if he goes and scores two goals in the next game and the next one, Yamal is still coming in and Rafinha's not getting dropped.
If he's getting goals and assists, people aren't going to think too much about how many games he started and how many games he came on. Like, it's a loan deal, isn't it? So,
who knows?
But look, I don't know about you, Arthur, but I couldn't help but be delighted for the boy.
I won't say I was delighted for him. The last few years haven't been
I'm just happy for him that he was playing well and scoring goals. And
it was a fantastic goal, the second was class. But, like, even in the dog days of the last few years at United, he still could do that. Got a great one against Arsenal. I know it's a good few years ago now, but remember
they showed that last night.
So, like, I don't think that's anything unusual for him. He's obviously up a level.
There, second ago, I'm not surprised that he hit the.
I don't think it's indicative of anything. Like, I don't think it's, as you're saying, like, he doesn't start in their strongest team. Not a hope. And as you're saying, it's even thing. I'd say it's even limited enough where he can go because it comes in. Because you wouldn't put him in instead of Lewandowski. We've seen what he can't do that. He can't play in that position. So, like, it's a great sub to have, and I don't think it's beyond him to do that last night, but there's just not enough, I think, in the last few years to suggest that this has just been because he's been a Man United player.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously they were the parallels drawn last night online.
That's the easiest thing.
Penny for Ruben Amorim's thoughts about all this, but sure, like, it doesn't work out for a player at one place and it doesn't work out for him at another place. Like, this is very common.
Yeah, and I just hope, you know, United fans and the United hierarchy don't start thinking, will we bring him back? Could he do that for us
again? And because that's what happened, isn't it? See one thing that goes well and you're like, let's continue that indefinitely.
Yeah, I think that's Mark. Mark should now just double down and think Manchester United is not the place for me. He's done really well at United, so it's time to move on. Every now and then things just go a little bit stale and... Yeah, move on, get a new lease of life. And like we're saying, that finish doesn't really surprise anybody. We all know he has that talent. It's, you know, the running around, the putting tackles in and just being a little bit of a body in a defensive area. That's where Marcus is annoying people. But if he gets his head right, he could still be one of the best wingers in the world. And he's probably going to be up against Anthony Gordon for the place in the England squad, which will... If Anthony Gordon plays really well for Newcastle and is playing the majority of the minutes... Thomas Tuchel's going to have some big decisions to make.
Yeah, for sure. In case you missed on the Champions League action last night, night three and Festival of Champions League football. The hipster fixtures, 5:45, Copenhagen 2, Bayer Leverkusen 2. The boy here was on commentary for it.
Yeah.
You thought you had gone viral when Grimaldo's free kick in the 82nd minute for Leverkusen. What a free kick. So a buddy of mine, a friend of the show, Paul Moore, sent it on to me. Very excited. You're going to love this. I did love it. I sent it to you. Just sort of pure artistry of football.
Yeah.
But you had selfish thoughts.
Yeah, I just got home from Virgin and the phone pops up. Colm sent me a message and it's Copenhagen against Leverkusen, the Grimaldo free kick. And I thought, oh, well, this was my commentary. Maybe I would have gone viral. There's 400,000 views on this, but it wasn't me. I think it was some Spanish bloke.
I didn't even listen. Yeah, I just thought a goal.
It was just somebody getting very, very excited about it, but nothing to do with me. But Henrik Larsson's son scored Copenhagen last night. A good finish. And to be fair, he was fairly impressive.
Was
a lovely left foot, drawing people into him. I thought Leverkusen, they weren't great. They were really, you know, I look at them and I think they've lost a manager. They've lost a whole host of their players with Granit Xhaka, Wirtz, Frimpong, one or two others. They look like a team that's been cherry picked all their best players. And possession wise, they kept the ball really well, but without really any impetus going forward. And it took until the 82nd minute for Grimaldo to put that into the top corner. Copenhagen go and make it 2-1 in the last minute and they react and make it 2-2. And it was a great finish to the game, but you look at Leverkusen and think they're depleted. They're not the team they were.
No. Absolutely not. Jared Kwanza playing in defence for Leverkusen. Yeah. People might wonder for that. Yeah, I just wanted to share something with you, you know, the artistry of the goal. That's all it was.
Yeah, fair enough. It's just, you know, my selfish but views the, on things. Bad, I thought, you know, everything's all about me.
Club Brugge 4, Monaco 1 was the other early kickoff. Eric Dier playing centre half for Monaco in this one. Andrew Fatty got the consolation for Monaco in injury time.
Yeah, I hear they have a little bit of an excuse. Apparently they flew in yesterday, a couple of hours before the game. They had problems with their flights getting to Brugge, so...
Oh yeah, they were all topless on the plane because of the air conditioning.
Yeah, and they only flew in, so it's probably one of them things that professionals will look and think, oh well, there's an excuse, but you know, you're... Joe Bloggs are looking at it and think it's not really an excuse, is it?
No.
Fly in and play well.
Then the mainstream games, 8 o'clock box office, Eintracht Frankfurt 5, Galatasaray 1. Look like Gundogan playing in midfield for Gala in this one. As was Leroy Sané. I forgot he played for them. And Mario Lemina, former Wolves captain, got stripped of his captaincy by Gary O'Neill. So a few recognisable heads in that one. What else do we got? Sporting beat Carrot and Mighty 4-1. They were Celtic's conquerors. And of course, Manchester City beat Napoli 2-0 at the Etihad. Kevin De Bruyne's return was cut short, Keith, after 25 minutes. He had to get sacrificed when Di Lorenzo was thrown a straight red card for his last-ditch foul on Erling Haaland. It was a great defensive display by Napoli at the end of the first half. Their goalkeeper, Milenkovic Savage, a string of great saves, and Paulinho, their captain, cleared off the line. Did you see this in injury time in the first half?
Yep.
From Tijani Reinder's shot, and he celebrated in a good Italian defensive fashion. But they couldn't hold out second half. Two very good goals, actually. Great assist by Phil Foden for Erling Haaland's header. And Jeremy Doku, who pretty much did the same thing to Luke Shaw in the Manchester derby, does it again to Napoli last night, but goes one further and scores this time instead of assisting. So that's your Champions League night of football. Now, we were talking there about who you played against for Ireland, right?
Really?
All these caps you have. And you didn't get your milk and bread. That's not what's in this bag.
No. Nope.
What's in the bag, Keith?
Only jerseys.
Yeah. So we have a few of Keith Tracy's own worn jerseys in matches. This one, the first one here, Burnley.
This is the first Burnley one, yeah. This is, I remember I was telling you is that we had to get permission from the Queen to wear this jersey. You see the crest is a bit different there. I've no idea what that says on the crest, to be honest with you. Some
Burnley, is it?
Spanish. No, it's... don't know what it says. I'm not even going to try and attempt that.
And why do you have to get permission from the Queen?
Because the 1914 FA Cup winning team is printed there. And for some reason, post-war, pre-war, during the war, we had to get the Queen's permission to be able to print those players. And yet the Burnley hierarchy came in and showed us the letter. They got it framed and all that. So, yeah, that's that one little... one little bit of memorabilia.
Oh, look at that sleeve there, Sky Bet Championship. Looks nice, isn't it? And you're number 26.
Yeah, that's my daughter's date of birth, 26th of April. So I was always 26. I couldn't get into the first 11, so I picked 26 thereafter.
Oh, really? At most clubs you're at? Or every club? Oh, really?
No, I got 11 at Preston because I was a little bit of a bigger deal at Preston, but at Burnley, no, it was 26.
What else you got?
I have a Blackburn jersey.
Yeah.
But this is not... I couldn't find any of my Premier League jerseys. I don't think I have any left. This is the UEFA Cup jersey.
Yeah.
Bet 24.
That's the actual jersey you wore on the match now, right?
Yeah, this is the actual jersey I wore on the match. Some of the...
my pretty
name
clean.
Has fallen off. Yeah, I probably didn't play. I was probably on the bench. But yeah, this is... to be fair, like I said, my granddad passed away a couple of Augusts ago, and cleaning out the attic, we found a big bag of all his old stuff, and I can't look at Bet24 without seeing... Tugoy in this jersey.
I
just picture Tugoy all the time. But yeah, there's some nice memories because, like I said, I don't sit at home looking at this stuff an awful lot. So to be able to dig them out and get an excuse is great.
That's the common theme we have with sports people to talk about, you know, like medalists as well. Athletes. Did you ever actually look at those medals or anything? Because very few people do.
Yeah.
They don't really care about the physical memorabilia things. It's more like the connections you make. Norway 2010.
Yeah,
you're on the bench for that one, were you?
Yeah, I can't. The only thing I remember about this game, this is probably my favourite Ireland jerseys. I know you were talking about nice jerseys a couple of weeks ago, but this Umbro and the feel, it's like a cotton feel. I always preferred playing in these jerseys. But yeah, Norway, I didn't play. I just remember having a chat with Morten Gams Pedersen at the time and the night out after that in Wrights. Don't remember a lot. Can't even tell you if he won that game or not.
But you remember Morten?
I remember having a chat with Morten, yeah, because me. what's her, Amanda. Yeah, she had a bit of a fancy for Martin and Shea Given, and she got to have a chat with them in the players' lounge after. But yeah, like I say, I can't really remember the game. Don't even know if we won.
Do you remember this one though, surely? Northern Ireland. Because this is the game you started, isn't it?
Yeah, that was the one start I got for Ireland in the Carling Cup of Nations.
Nations Cup on the sides as well.
So yeah, I'm the most successful player to ever play for Ireland. The only one to win it. Yeah, totally. It's a absolute clutching at straws. But yeah, we won the Nations Cup, and probably, yeah, the only thing Ireland's ever won, isn't it?
Do you have a medal from that?
It's not a medal, it's like a 3D plaque of the tree of the Aviva. Oh. It's like a little small plaque with it in it. It's, yeah, it was only built, so I think they were trying to plug it. Yeah, that's brilliant. Northern Ireland jersey.
And this is your other Burnley top here?
Yeah, this is the championship jersey. Jeez, I look at them now and I think, how did I ever fit into these things? Yeah, I don't know. I can't remember. Just your box standard Burnley jersey starting to come away. But yeah.
You definitely remember this, though. So this is the cap. So I never really thought about what the caps looked like when you get an international cap. This is the bad boy. Can you describe it there for people?
Well, it's a green cap.
What else is going on with it?
There's a little gold tassel hanging off it.
Yeah, yeah, it's nice.
It's a nice enough yoke, I like it, but it's not one I'd be whacking on my head anytime soon. It's one for the kids to have a look at and stuff like that. But I was a bit disappointed because when I started playing for Ireland, you used to get a cap for every single appearance. Mm. But now it's a cap for the year. So if you make 5 appearances in the year, you just get one cap with the number 5 on it, as you can probably see there. So yeah, I got one cap with 5 on it and one cap with the number 1 on it. So 2 caps all together.
Is this the cap that you got because we talked about it on the show and then the FAI rang you?
Yep. Yeah, literally, I brought it up on the show. I think I was with Owen Sheehan, and by the time I got home, I was going to Leo and I got a phone call from the Stephen McGuinness saying, we have your caps, they're on the way, don't worry. And yeah, the show did really well for me there.
We'll briefly park this to get Barry Murphy involved in a conversation, right? So just to let you know, League of Ireland tonight, we have live commentary of Pats against Galway United with Jonathan Higgins and Richie Towle. But in the meantime, OTB Breakfast at UPMC, Orthopaedic Care, when things don't move, rotate, or Ben Knight, they used to choose us to help you get back in action.